John 21:15-20. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written.
How do you cope with being a failure? If I was to ask this to your face, how would you respond? You might be thinking, "I'm not a failure." And how dare he say that? You might be thinking, "You are." And it's more like, "Why is he talking about this? I don't want to keep thinking about this. I don't want to come here for someone to remind me how it all just keeps on going wrong." Or maybe you're thinking, "How does he know? Or does he work for Facebook? What's he seen?" Well, you don't have to worry about the last one. I don't work for Facebook, and I don't anymore have any access to anyone else's security cameras. And being British, I'm not actually going to ask you that to your face. Probably. Think back over the last few weeks. I've missed a friend's birthday party because I failed to keep on top of messaging. Have you let any of your friends down? I remember before my university final exams, we'd been given a project to do. We were given the projects nearly a year in advance, and yet I missed the deadline and handed it in to the department several hours late. It still makes me wince to think about it. Have you failed in ways that you will look back on with such embarrassment? It's too often to list how many times I've said I'd do something for a colleague at work and realised I couldn't do it in the time I said I would. Have you made any promises and realised you're not up to the challenge? Or perhaps how many times in the past week? We've been looking at the record of Jesus' death and resurrection that John has written down for us over the last few weeks at church. Last week we were thinking about how we can be sure that the resurrection really happened. This week we'll be thinking of how that certainty changes us. We'll be seeing things mostly through the eyes of Jesus' followers John, who wrote this book, and Peter, also known as Simon. We're going to see Jesus prepare them to be truly useful for him, getting them ready to be transformed from the frightened disciples hiding behind locked doors, or as we saw them last week, failing at fishing, getting them ready to be transformed into people who boldly tell others of the wonderful truths they know. And we'll be seeing how Jesus is getting us ready for the same transformation. Back to my question. How do you cope with being a failure? Let's look at what Jesus has to say to Simon Peter. We're in John's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 15 on page 1090 of the Red Church Bibles. Note how Jesus calls him Simon in verse 15. This is the name that he was known by before he met Jesus. Jesus had given him the name Peter, which means rock. But Simon Peter hadn't really been a rock in the last few days, more like jelly. In verse 15, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" He probably means, "Do you love me more than these other disciples love me?" rather than, "Do you love me more than you love these disciples?" or even, "Do you love me more than you love fishing?" I think Simon is reminded of his bold boast, which we read earlier, when he said, "Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for you." Which was followed soon after by him meeting a servant girl at the high priest's door, who asked him if he was one of Jesus' disciples, to which he replied, "I am not." He didn't even have the confidence to admit he was a follower of Jesus to a servant girl, let alone to die for Jesus. Three times Jesus asked Peter the question, matching the three times Peter denied Jesus. We can see how much it hurt to be reminded of his failure. Peter denied his master and turned out to be an utter failure. Before the Lord can use Peter, Peter needs to know that he's a failure and that Jesus sees that. How do you cope with being a failure? The only people Jesus uses for his work are forgiven sinners. The only people Jesus wants to use for his work are those who realize that they are forgiven sinners. Have you had an experience of realizing that Jesus is humbling you? Maybe arriving at a new job thinking you're going to be perfect for the role, and then promising more than you can deliver, arguing with teammates and seeing in ourselves all that we don't like in other people. Maybe for those in the first year of marriage, realizing it's much tougher than they ever thought, discovering that they are much more sinful and selfish than they'd ever realized. Of seeing someone bullied at school for their faith or for who they are, and then not standing up for them. Losing your courage at the moment when you could do the most good. Or maybe he uses something else to break our pride and self-confidence. For much of my life, I've had migraines. They're severe headaches, which at their peak can leave you unable to do anything useful. This is a picture of one of the thousands of migraine tablets that I've taken. The migraines are a great reminder that I cannot and should not depend on my own abilities, never knowing if what I've said would be possible. 5 years ago, I was feeling a mild fever on Friday afternoon. By Monday, I was unable to walk, and that evening I was admitted to hospital and diagnosed with pneumonia. There's still many things I cannot do as well as I could before then. Another reminder of my need to see my own weakness. Incidentally, in treating me, a doctor found a way to get rid of the migraines. Is this all part of God's plan to help me see my need for him? Well, God knows for sure. If your response to my first question was, I'm not a failure, then this is bad news for you. When you realize that you are a failure, then Jesus can start his work. Jesus here is gently putting his finger on Peter's sin, and it becomes clear that Jesus has already forgiven Peter. In verse 15, we see Jesus saying to Peter, "Feed my lambs," which shows that Jesus wants Peter to know that the relationship has been fixed. When we have failed, we are right to think we are not worthy to serve Jesus. But the amazing thing is that Jesus specializes in making useful people out of failures. In between Peter's denial and this chapter, John has told us about Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus was killed in our place, that we might be forgiven. And here we see the consequences of this for Peter and for us. Perhaps you're thinking, if people here knew what goes on in my head, what I've said, what I've done, then no one here would want any more of me. If so, think, but I'm serving the Lord who specializes in using failures. If you'll let Jesus point out your failures and accept his death in your place, then he has already forgiven you, and the journey of transformation has started. So what do I do? What do you do when someone has pointed out that you've failed? Let's see what Jesus has to say. Jesus asks Peter three times. For example, in verse 17, "Do you love me?" The most important question for living as a Christian is, do you love Jesus? It doesn't matter who you are. You might be the vicar, the person making the coffee, the bishop, someone who's here for the first time. The real question is, do I love Jesus? Not just respect him, although of course we should if we understand who he really is, and not just be intellectually interested in him. And surely we will be if we read about him and see that he is the ultimate revelation of God's wisdom to us. It's not just respect. When I was in hospital, the medical staff did amazing things. They treated me with respect, went beyond their official duties, and literally saved my life. Yet their role, while amazing, isn't the same as love. Love is a little bit more like the people who came to visit, and indeed in the case of Dave Cole, brought cake. The people who looked after Ruth, the people who cared and who prayed. Love is what separates Christianity, real Christianity, from lifeless legalism. It is love for Jesus that makes people want to think about him, read his words, like his friends, be jealous for his honor, talk to him, and want to be with him. Love is the difference between thinking what's okay, what's acceptable, and what's the best that I can do, which is the way that you relate to someone you love. A love for Jesus that makes such a difference in how we use our money, how we behave, how we use our time. Jesus forgives you. You love Jesus. What does loving Jesus look like? In verses 15-17, we see Jesus telling Peter, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep." Love won't just be something in our hearts. Loving Jesus will lead to action. The action is to care for people, to show love for his people. Faith in the Lord Jesus is paired with love for his people, those we know and those we don't. Those who already know Jesus' forgiveness and love him, and those who don't yet. When Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, the two things that he says about them are that they trust Jesus and they love his people. The two go together, the vertical and the horizontal. The picture Jesus is using here is of a shepherd feeding his flock. Sheep need a shepherd. This is most obviously applied to those who work full time to minister to his people. And maybe that could be you. It certainly means when we're helping in creche or encouraging a home group or meeting up with a friend who needs to see Jesus' love shown. And it should be true for us all the time. How about thinking about coming to church not just as an opportunity to meet your friends, although that's a wonderful thing, but to look out for each other and to welcome the outsider. And it works for us in that we too are sheep and need the care of the shepherds that Jesus has chosen for us. Let us allow ourselves to be cared for, guided, gently corrected, and taught by each other. Peter is being sent by Jesus to serve Jesus' people. Jesus forgives you. You love Jesus. Jesus sends you. In Peter and John, we can see how this can look very different in different people. In verse 18, we see Jesus telling Peter to be ready to suffer. "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Other historians wrote how Peter was, like Jesus, executed on a cross. As Peter had said, he did eventually lay down his life for Jesus. Although first he needed to know his sin and Jesus' forgiveness before that could happen. Jesus wants Peter to know that being sent by Jesus often accompanies suffering. If you've been at creche with smelly nappies and screaming toddlers and feeling overwhelmed, then you've been experiencing what truly following Jesus can be like. And thank you. Thank you for the love that you are showing to us. And we see in John a life spent spreading Jesus' message. As we see in verse 24, "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true." John wants to reassure us that we're reading eyewitness testimony. This all really happened. And as Jesus has given Peter a glimpse into his future, Peter sees John and wants to know what will happen to him. In verse 20, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Jesus warns Peter not to compare himself to others, that Peter needs to follow Jesus, to know forgiveness from Jesus, to love Jesus and to be sent by him. We harm ourselves and others when we compare ourselves to each other rather than caring for each other. In verse 23, John warns us, because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" By human nature, we naturally want to know more than we have been told. It seems maybe here that people were trying to work out when Jesus was returning. John warns us against that, to focus on what we have been told. John is warning us not to be distracted by the things we haven't been told, but rather to be transformed by Jesus. And John reminds us how amazing Jesus is. In verse 25, he says, "Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written." Maybe you think this is a bit of exaggeration that you can allow from a devoted follower. But remember, John started this book by telling us that Jesus is the Word of God revealed in human form. And if he's the Word that created the universe, then there's so much more to him than will fit into our minds or in all the books that could be written. And this awesome Lord cares for us. We have seen Jesus forgives Peter. Jesus asks him if he loves him. Jesus sends him to care for his people. Will you let Jesus forgive you? Will you really love Jesus? Will you be sent by him?